Welcome to Delay of Game. This is our third episode. Coming off of an interesting football weekend. Sports in general, actually, I think it was a little exciting. Not always turning out the way that we wanted it to, but I think it turned out. I think it was interesting nonetheless. With me as always is Matt, Will, Jacob.
Hey.
Hello. Hey.
Yeah, the Saints game was miserable this afternoon.
Yeah, that was garbage.
It was kind of cool for a little while.
It was. They squandered a 13-point lead, though.
Yeah, I started doing stuff around the house toward the end.
I put pants on, and then they started losing. So
I was shredding some documents, and I was doing that on purpose so I wouldn't have to listen to the game anymore.
Yeah, I'm kind of getting over the whole watching them fall apart at the last second, but somebody pointed out earlier to me, we have three losses so far this year. Three losses that are total of 6 points.
Yeah.
We lost by...
They're very close.
So throw the Dallas game out, and the other three are by a total of 6 points?
Yes. I mean, obviously, as
Man,
much
ain't
as
ain't that
it
a
hurt,
kick in the dick.
But it is Dallas.
Saints have notoriously been a, you know, half a game team. For a long time, it was, you know, it was, they were a second half team, but lately it hasn't necessarily been a second half. Like sometimes they'll come back in the second half and you're like, yeah, they might actually, not quite good enough, too little, too late. Whereas this game, it was, they put all their effort into the first half and the second half was just like, what are you doing? Like the defense looked great, I think, like compared to the rest of the season so far. I think the defense looked pretty decent.
You could tell they were getting a little gassed toward the end of the first half and toward the end of the game.
Yeah.
Other than that, over the course of the game, it was a pretty great effort from the defense, I thought. It just kind of fell apart toward the end.
After that interception?
Well, yeah, the defense doesn't throw interceptions, so Drew Brees is still struggling with the picks.
Yeah, he also seemed to be overthrowing a lot today, a little bit more than he has been.
Well, he had that one to Kenny Stills that was right on the money.
Yeah.
That was a beautiful touchdown. It's probably the best ball he's thrown all year.
That was a really nice reception. Really good Colston catch in there, too, today.
Right.
At a really good time.
Well, Colston had a shaky start. He had a misconnection with Drew Brees. The timing wasn't there to start the game, and then he had a drop. But he started to look good. He had some great catches throughout the rest of the first half and into the second. Offense came out firing once they came back in from halftime. Mm-hmm. And third quarter got off to a great start. That's when Saints went up to 17-3, I think was the score at that point. And they just couldn't shut the door, man. Mm-mm. I don't know what it is. That's, I think, six road losses in a row now in the regular season.
Yeah, they're 0-4 on the road this season.
And they managed to win on the road in the playoffs last year, which boggles my mind.
Well, what do you think it is? Do you think it's the fact that, like, the stadium is loud enough it distracts our opponents? Or do you think that our offense and defense don't really function in any arena where it's hostile to
them? It's hard to tell. It's almost like they find different ways to lose on the road every time they play. I can tell you this week it wasn't the crowd noise, because when the Saints were up by 13 points with, I don't know, 6 minutes left, Lions fans were booking it toward the exit.
Yeah.
Quite a few of them left that game.
Yeah, they had a whole little bit about that towards the end. They were like, oh, that sucks for those guys.
That's why you always stay.
It's like the Heat and the Spurs in the NBA Finals a couple years ago. The Heat were down by 5 points with, I don't know, 15 seconds left, and all their fans started leaving. And since 15 seconds takes half an hour at the end of the game, at the end of an NBA game, all the fans were trying to get back in.
Funny thing
is, probably what was happening in Detroit today.
Oh, I guarantee it.
My first ever game when I went up to LSU as a student, I was Oregon State.
That was my first game, too.
I actually had that ticket in hand, and I can't remember exactly how it went. I know at some point, though, it looked like we were going to lose. It was like close to it. And I walk right out of the stadium. I'm right there by that little weird hydroelectric dam they have with the steam and all the power. Who knows what's on LSU's campus? And I hear this roar from over my shoulder, and I missed it. We came back and won, and I still regret not seeing it to this day.
It's a great game.
It's one of those things that, like, 6 minutes in NFL time is a long time. That's a lot of football.
Right. I don't know if it was 6 minutes.
Yeah,
something
but even
like
still,
that.
Yeah. Or, you know, I see
we don't look up stats here.
Yeah, I guess. Conjecture. You know, because like 11 minutes left in a game. Like, a lot of times people are like, oh, that's it. You know, when the Saints are behind and there's like 11 minutes left in the game. It's like, not necessarily. Like the Saints clearly didn't have it locked down with 11 minutes left of the game. So, why would you think, like, Detroit fans, yeah, the ones that left, it was like, you guys could have seen a pretty decent comeback. Like, but you know, sure, 1 point, but that's all you need to win.
I'm just annoyed at losing to Detroit. Not because it's the actual teams playing, but in some way I feel like their city's better than ours, and you can see what's going on in Detroit. Everything's on fire. They're waiting for
more. I think it was Skooks had a great tweet this morning or this afternoon during the Saints game. It said, New Orleans versus Detroit. It's something like, New Orleans versus Detroit. The winner will get 10 Atlantic City's think pieces on urban decay, and the loser will get 10 pieces on its hipster revival.
That is the nail in the head right there. That's, yeah.
Well, they do have a better, like, city protector than we do. What we have the Rougarou, they have RoboCop.
It's really the second podcast in a row we're talking about RoboCop.
Yes.
I think the format now is that we just, every podcast just talks about half of the stuff from the previous podcast.
But back to Saints and Lions, it is very disheartening that the Saints couldn't win the Urban Decay Hipster Revival Cities Bowl today. And it's also disappointing that, you know, a couple of former Saints...
Yeah.
Reggie Bush and Joik Bell both had impacts today. Reggie had a few catches. Joik Bell had a touchdown.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's all the Fox announcers would talk about today. Right. I don't remember who the play-by-play guy was, but Rondé Barber was calling color commentary.
Yeah.
Just every time Joik Bell or Reggie Bush would get the ball, they were just forcing that revenge narrative.
Yeah.
Well, you got to realize the sportscasters, these are guys who maybe made it through 8th grade, maybe 9th grade English before they get let out of class to go, you know, lift weights all day.
Right.
So the fact that they were able to come up with a thesis and they just keep reverting back to it is not exactly going to be a shocker. Though, the other thing we noticed before we came in here was Peyton Manning broke the record.
Yes. Yep. 509 career touchdown passes for Peyton Manning. Good luck breaking that record, Andrew Luck or whoever the shit else is going to try to break it. Because it's going to be really tough. Yeah. Who knows, when the NFL expands to 25 games a year, maybe it'll be easier to break that record. But for now, that one's going to stand for quite some time.
Yeah.
That's in the future when we have NFL 360, you know, game every week.
Right. It'll be like the European soccer leagues. You know, 36 games over the course of 6 months or something like that.
Oh, now, that's Favre's record, right?
Yeah, I was just about to ask.
Favre was the latest one to hold that record at 508. He's been the record holder since 2007 when he passed Dan Marino, somewhere in the 400s. But obviously, Brett Favre played until, I think, through the 2010 season. I think that's when he retired, was after the 2010 season.
What was the year when he was Snapchatting his dick to people?
That was 2008 when he was with the Jets. He was...
And he was showing people his jet.
He was snapping his dick pics to a couple of female reporters.
Yeah.
I think one of them was Jen Sturger, who... but yeah, she was a student at Florida State back in the early 2000s and got famous.
Speaking of that...
And then she became a sports reporter.
Yeah, actually, speaking of that, I was watching some game yesterday and it cut to the sideline and the name of the girl was Allie LaForce.
Yes.
I was like, that doesn't sound like a sideline reporter as much as a porn star. Like,
right. Well, it's kind of like Samantha Steele. You know, she was a sideline reporter.
Yeah, that sounds like a fake name.
Well, that's not her name anymore. She married the Vikings third-string quarterback, Christian Ponder. Third-string quarterback / first-round pick. Quarterback for the Vikings, Christian Ponder. So she goes by Samantha Ponder now, but it was for years it was Samantha Steele, and I always thought that sounded like a porn star.
Was it like shortened because was it like Steelenbergerstein, and like she just shortened it to be more Hollywood friendly?
What are you trying to say, Jeff?
Long names with a lot of suffixes usually get cut. Like Bob Breck, his last name is Bob Zabrecki.
That's true. Yeah. You know, I worked in radio for several years, and I just thought I would you know, drop that. I just thought I'd toot my own horn here. Yeah. But yeah, I've worked in radio for several years, and lots of people use either like shortened names or just straight up fake names.
Yeah.
Well, like Tommy Tucker on WWL. That's not his real name. I don't know what it is. Don't ask me. But
On Psych, I think that's where you were about to go with this. James Rode. His last name is actually Rodriguez.
Yeah.
But he goes by Rode.
I was just going to say Jacob. Jacob's not his real name. It's, what, Jacobison?
Yes. Jacobison Mayor Steinberger.
Mary Steinberger?
Esquire. Forgot the Esquire, buddy.
I can't. I mean, I wanted to hop in the conversation, but I'm still thinking about poor Brett Favre. He's probably sitting in Kiln, Mississippi right now.
Just snapping pics of his dick.
Cutting grass.
Sending him to Peyton Manning, probably.
Wearing just his Levi's.
I was thinking Levi's. Like, what is that with quarterbacks? And like, you know what? I want to sell some jeans to the average American. Like, can't you just have something better? Like,
Breeze,
whatever.
Breeze and Favre are hawking the same jeans. But Breeze also sells shit like diapers.
Yeah.
Well, so is that like, better than hawking jeans?
But he's got an army of children.
It is Wrangler. Wrangler.
Okay, we have confirmation.
Brett Favre and Drew Breeze are both hawking Wrangler.
And Breeze is pushing a little Jimmy John's, man. Like, I heard if you're lucky enough to live uptown and you call every once in a blue moon. He actually brings it. I watched Jimmy John's.
There is no way that's true.
He did that for a while at the Metairie location because that was the first one for a while. He wouldn't go bring it to you. He would go there and make the sandwiches there.
He probably did that fucking once.
Yeah.
And now everybody goes there thinking, I'm going to see Drew Brees when I go eat my stupid mayonnaise sandwich.
There's like a mayonnaise sandwich?
That's a real
thing. Have you ever eaten at Jimmy John's? Those things are slathered in mayonnaise, dude.
My dad actually used to eat mayonnaise sandwiches when I was a kid. He does it now because doctors have told you that mayonnaise in large quantities like that is terrible for you.
When I was in kindergarten, I used to bring my lunch to school, and this was a common dish for my brown bag lunch that my mother would make me every day when I was 5 years old. It was a mayonnaise and American cheese sandwich on white bread with the crust cut off.
Oh, that's cute.
If that sounds disgusting, that's because it is. And one day I was eating it at lunch and I just puked all over myself.
I got your beat on that.
And from then on, I've never been able to eat a cheese sandwich with mayonnaise and white bread and no crusts.
Yeah. Sounds like a good thing.
Yes.
If you want great, have you ever heard of luncheon meat?
I don't know what's in it.
It's everything.
But it's super cheap at Winn-Dixie. My mom used to do luncheon meat and ketchup sandwiches.
Oh, God.
I think it's
I would take cheese and mayonnaise anything.
It's like a bologna something.
It's like what they use for bologna.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I think it's like ham and chicken and turkey.
It's like the shit they don't use in chicken nuggets. Like the Jamie Oliver video.
It's the world's worst turducken is what it is.
I'll come out and say it. As a 28-year-old man, I still rock a PB&J.
Oh, nothing wrong with that.
It gets to my heart. I like it. Gotta go grape jelly.
It's cheap.
I hate to say it. I'm crunchy. I'm team crunchy. Like, I'm sure you're all not surprised, but that's one of those things that I don't...
That's crunchy peanut butter, right?
Yeah, that too. I don't trust somebody who goes creamy. Like, it just seems like you got something to hide.
I do Reese's. The Reese's peanut butter.
That's not crunchy.
No, it's not.
That's fucking dessert. Like, that's not a sandwich.
It's
like some guy just coming out of a manhole who's like, peanut butter, and some asshole drops chocolate in it.
No, the Reese's peanut butter is just a jar of actual peanut butter. And it's a creamy peanut butter. It's not all chalky like the peanut butter in a Reese's cup is, which, by the way, is delicious.
Sponsor us, Reese's.
Yeah. By the way, Reese's last Halloween was the number one selling candy bar in the United States for Halloween.
That's bullshit because it's not a candy bar. It's a cup.
I've often wondered if it would be considered a candy bar, and according to the National Confectioners Association, it is.
Oh, it's of course.
Someone had to bribe them.
Yeah, somebody fucking lured, and now we determine what a candy bar is.
I think they just
said... second place was Snickers, which is probably the more rightful candy bar. If it was candy, period, sure. But that's candy corn, man. That's 20 million pounds a year.
Ooh, I could go for some candy corn.
I don't have any.
Halloween is upon us.
And
that is about. That is the best time of year with all that free shit. Like, I'm kind of, you know, I look 18-ish. I might go hit up some houses. Especially, like, when the rent's due and everything. You got to stretch that last dollar.
See,
I could probably call a bunch of Reese's Pieces lunch one day.
See, I thought you were talking like, oh, yeah, I'm like, at work, people will bring bowls of candy and put it on their desk in the office. And you go in there and go ask them a question, you can get some candy. But you're talking about actual trick-or-treating.
You just put on a shave. Mask. They'll never know.
You
know,
yeah, I think I could pull this off because I shaved last weekend, and you know, when I walked in Monday morning, one of the new coworkers that I have who just started working over there, she looked at me, and the first thing she said was, "You look 12."
You did look really young, by the way.
I got ID'd at Avenue Pub earlier
really?
Today. Yeah.
Don't they know you over there?
Yeah, and I actually had talked to this bartender several times. But granted, I mean, usually when they're on the other side of the bar and they've been drinking and what have you. But I just did a double take. It's like, okay, yeah, I guess. It's not that whole, oh my God, it's going to be flattering shit. It's like, God damn it, I really don't want to reach into my pocket.
Yeah, it's laziness. Well, like, when they have the door guy, like, if you go, like, when it's special events and stuff like that, they card everybody. And it's not, like, I never get, a, like, weird. I mean, I don't care if I get carded anywhere. But, yeah, it's just the laziness of, I've got to pull out my wallet now. I'm going to pull out my ID now and show this to you. And then you're going to do the whole, hey, your beard's a lot smaller and your hair is kempt. And so you don't look like you.
It's all right. I'm throwing the bullshit flag. I haven't had to do that several times. Like, I'm not even looking at that. More often than not, I'm just like, kind of like, it looks roughly like this person. Are they old enough? And you can kind of figure it out. But I was a little hurt deep in my heart. You know, it's one of those things where you kind of expect that you don't have to get ID'd every time. You know, I hardly ever at the few bars that I tend to go in circuit. There is one bar right off LSU's campus that was infamous for. It would always ask your ID every time. Like, regulars should have been going there for years upon years. And they would just hound you. I was actually with a judge going to an LSU game when we stopped in.
He comes.
Was it Bogies?
Did you go to Bogies with a judge? I did not go to Bogies.
He comes the judge.
It was a, it was Slinkies.
Okay. You know?
Which, I mean, it's kind of hilarious that that strike for a place that has underwear stapled to the wall. And,
right.
Do you have to go down a bunch of stairs to get into this
No.
bar?
No. Though, ironically, the whole building's on a tilt because it used to be a movie theater. And that whole back street is...
That's kind of awesome, actually.
I've got to spend a week in Baton Rouge coming up for work.
My condolences.
I know. Well, I just spent a whole day there yesterday for the LSU game.
Yeah.
You know, it's looking real nice up there. You know, every time I go up to LSU's campus, there's something new in the area. And it was nice to be back on campus yesterday for the LSU alumni band reunion and for the shellacking that the LSU football team put on Kentucky, earning them a spot back in the top 25 in both the AP and the coaches poll.
What are they
this
ranked?
Week? They're ranked, I think, 23 in the coaches and 24 in the AP. Off the top of my head.
AP has LSU at 24. USA Today poll has them at 23.
That's exactly what I just said.
So I'm just verifying it.
Off the top of the head is accurate.
Yes,
when it comes to Jacob.
Oh, speaking of the top of things.
Yeah, actually, I was going to say around the horn, taking a look at all of college. The SEC is holding up four of the five top spots. You know, you got Miss State, Florida State, Ole Miss, Bama, and then Auburn again. And I have to issue a retraction. For once, Notre Dame did not Notre Dame.
They kind of did.
They flopped at the end, and I can imagine a whole bunch of angry Catholics out there who are like, oh my God, like it wasn't really a penalty. But, you know, what's the rule? You can't be shoving somebody 5 yards out, and I think...
Pretty much.
Yeah.
It almost looked like they were trying to run like a screenplay or a pick play, like in basketball. That's what it looked like to me when... I saw the highlights last night right before I fell asleep, so...
Yeah, I did the end of the night purview of everything, too. I was... So my question is this. Given my eternal burning hatred for Notre Dame, do you think this means that Florida State's not as good, or is Notre Dame possibly much better than people take it for?
No, I think those two teams are pretty evenly matched. Florida State is a good team, and I think Notre Dame is a pretty good team this year as well. That might be the toughest game for either of those teams all season up until the playoffs, which Florida State, I'm fairly confident in saying that Florida State is going to make the 14 playoff this year. Notre Dame has some work to get back in it. I don't know how far they fell in the polls, but I can't imagine they're outside of the top 10 right now. They're number 7, I'm being told, by our producer.
Don't inflate his ego. Don't they have somebody who's connected to Notre Dame on that board of 13 or what have you that are voting for it? I always never felt comfortable with the way.
I know Tyrone Willingham is on there. He used to be the coach over there.
You think you'd favor him?
Probably not. They fired his ass.
Okay. I mean, I always feel like whenever there's any sort of controversy about how treatment and how the leagues build up their own power and everything, Notre Dame manages to kind of weasel its way around with its, you know, not heritage. What's the word I'm looking for? History or gravitas or whatever.
Yeah. No, but I mean, they're a good team this year. Evan Golson, their quarterback, he has been accustomed to winning. He's done a lot of it over there. They mentioned several times yesterday during College Game Day, which I didn't get to see the game, but I did tune into Game Day yesterday morning. Jameis Winston, quarterback for Florida State, and Golson, the quarterback for Notre Dame, both of them, I'm pretty sure, are undefeated, or were undefeated in the regular season going into that game. Jameis Winston still hasn't lost a game in the regular season, or at all, actually, because they beat Auburn in the national championship game last year. So, Winston's still looking for his first loss.
That's a hell of a way to put it.
Yeah, I don't see it coming. I mean, I think they would have to go up against Duke in the ACC championship game. Duke's having a great year, but I don't see him knocking off Florida State. And, see what happens in the playoff. Right now we've got, as you mentioned, 4 SEC teams in the top 5. And actually all 4 of those teams are from the SEC West, which obviously is the same division as LSU, which means, LSU's already in they started in an 0-2 hole in the conference standings. They're back to 500 now, back-to-back wins over Florida and Kentucky, but there's no way they're getting out of that division. They're not going to be able to pass up Mississippi State, who already beat them, Auburn, who already beat them, both of those teams in the top 5. They've still got Alabama coming up, who's the number 4 team in the country. This is a mess. You got the 2 Mississippi schools at 1-3, and the 2 Alabama schools at 4-5 right now. And obviously, there's no way all 4 of those teams are going to make the playoff, but I think there's a very strong possibility that 2 of them could, and people are going to get pretty angry. All the SEC haters, they're going to hate this system just as much as they hated the BCS. It's going to be beautiful.
Bama did roll A&M yesterday. Bama was ranked 7 at that point. A&M was ranked 21st. It was 59-0 in Tuscaloosa. Ooh. It got to the point where they were just doing acrobatics on the field.
I heard a good tidbit to bring some local flair with a stat here. That is the biggest win for Alabama since they beat Tulane in 1991, 62-0.
Wow.
Yes.
Similarly to the way you're talking about the SEC West they're all top-ranked teams, the exact opposite is occurring right now in the NFC South.
That is true.
For the NFL. Today, literally every single team, the only NFC South team that didn't lose today was Tampa Bay, and that's because they had a bye week.
Yes. Which, like, as the Saints proved last week on their bye week, it's hard to lose on bye week. You probably won't lose on your bye week.
Never,
but then
never
you
say
lose
never.
In style when you come back from your bye week.
Right. I think I also heard this was the first loss in the Sean Payton era coming off a bye week.
Wow.
So that's a very discouraging stat.
Well, I mean, you could tell that Jimmy Graham is still not 100%. And, I mean, he wasn't targeted but once, and that was only out of necessity because no one else was open.
And he wasn't in the game a whole lot either.
All right, I'm going to throw in my bits on Jimmy Graham. I think he's overrated. I think what happens is that For better or worse, Sean Payton's really good at taking either a position or a concept in which he perceives a player and is able to make the most out of it. I mean, Colston was a nobody. They drafted very, very late, turned him into a top league-leading receiver. Same thing with Jimmy Graham. Yeah. And then what happens? We sign them for these big contracts, and then they kind of putter around because they have the safety of it. I don't think the next person we have that we build up like that, whether it's Brandon Cooks, we just kind of look at the board and be like, nah, fuck off. I mean, we'll spend the third round and get somebody who's young because they can do it, you know? And everybody is all up on Jimmy Graham's nuts. And I'm just like, you know, yeah, cool. You got the cutesy shirt that says Golden Graham or whatever. I'm not expecting that much out of him.
I'm going to disagree with you a little bit. I think he's worth the money that they're paying him. Although he is a little overrated in a couple of areas. A, he is a shit blocker.
Yeah.
He is not good. I feel like the effort's not there sometimes. Mm-hmm. The other two tight ends on the team, Josh Hill and Ben Watson. Ben Watson especially is a much better blocker than Jimmy Graham. Jimmy Graham is a mediocre run and pass blocker at best, but goddamn, he could catch some touchdowns,
man.
Yeah,
he does.
And he has been banged up a bunch.
Yeah.
And he's banged up right now. And like Jeff said, he only had one or two targets.
Yeah.
But he wasn't in for most of the plays this weekend against Detroit. He was not in for most of the game and only had a couple of targets, but that's because he wasn't part of the game plan because he's not at 100%.
Right.
But when he's at 100%, he's the best. He's the best pass-catching tight end in the league right now. The only one who's close is Gronkowski, and he's banged up a lot too.
But when, when Jimmy's on, he's fucking on.
Yes.
Like, there's no stopping him. He's going to do what Jimmy Graham does.
Speaking of Gronk, did you see Baby Gronk's touchdown this past weekend? He's playing for Kansas State. And
did not.
It was something like a 38-yard pass or something like that. It was the longest pass. It was longer than anything his brother made. And, of course, you know, his brother's just dicking around, tweets it, and they spin it up on...
Well, you know there's like five of them, right?
There's
like five Gronks.
They're like a Manning franchise.
They've got like varying levels of success and...
Does their mother
so they're like a Manning franchise?
Yeah. Yeah. Polish Catholic, no condoms? I mean...
Probably.
Yeah. You know, but yeah, I guess the one that's playing for Kansas State, he helped them in that big pass play to edge Oklahoma, so that's going to be some of the shakeup.
Yes, that was part of the shakeup.
Kansas State was 14 and Oklahoma was 11. There were a few other scores from around the league. Sadly enough, Missouri went into the swamp, I believe, and trounced Florida 42-13, which makes me think it's going to be the end of Will Muschamp's career after this season.
It very well could be. That was a weird game. I didn't see it, but I read about it. Mizzou had less than 150 yards of total offense in that game.
There were 200 and something penalty yards, I think.
There was that. Also, Florida turned the ball over 6 times.
Wow.
6 turnovers in the swamp for the Gators gave Mizzou a 30-ish point win.
Yikes.
And Mizzou only had 120 yards of offense or something fucking stupid like that.
Wow.
It was ridiculous.
6 turnovers.
It's got to be an all-time low to be a Florida fan, man.
It's terrible, man. You know, when LSU was playing Florida last week, I thought they were too...
We didn't touch on much last week.
No, we didn't.
No,
but I thought at the time those were two kind of evenly matched teams. I always thought that LSU this season was a little bit better than Florida this season, but I didn't know who was going to win that game going in because it was at Florida.
Right.
Knew it would be close, and it was. We almost had overtime. A couple of key turnovers gave LSU the victory with a 50-yard field goal as time expired, or right before time expired. But, man, Florida, we just didn't realize how bad they are. They are god-awful. You lose a game like that, you only give up... Their defense is pretty decent, actually.
Yeah.
You give up only 120 yards of offense, but then your offense lets you down with 6 fucking turnovers?
Yeah, that's just... that. I mean,
I
the Saints are ahead, too.
They gotta get on that, you know, Vanderbilt, Kentucky level where when football season rolls around, you're just like, man, I'm gonna drink and hang out, you know? However we do, it's about the team on this one. But like we said, there was a bit of a toss-up this past weekend. I noticed number 4, Baylor, took a hit. They lost.
They're frauds.
Yeah, okay, so
Big 12's all frauds.
Okay, I have a feeling that when we come up with our ranking system, all the sports writers sit around and they pick the leagues and they basically assess the whole league. And then they make this somewhere along the way, like there's the Big 12 and they're like, fuck, you know, we got to respect the Big 12. Why? So whoever's, I don't know, I don't make the rules, but it's whoever's going to be on top of the one of the power conferences, they have to get that kind of national billing. It's true. I would say the Big 12 is just kind of crumbling at the seams. Might as well let it all tumble.
Well, Baylor was number 4 going into the weekend, and they did fall to West Virginia at West Virginia this week. But last week they played TCU in an absolute barn burner. It was, I think they won 61-58, and they were down 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. They came back and scored the final 24 points of that game to win by 3. 61-58.
Wow.
When was the last time you saw a game like that?
I don't know. I mean,
they got no defense over there in the Big 12, man.
Yeah, speaking of which, well, somebody had some defense. TCU at 12 walloped Oklahoma State at 15, 42-9. So at the very least, somebody at TCU knows what they're doing. Which, Horned Frogs. I never got... You know how they have all those weird helmets because, I guess, Under Armour needs to be flashy and let people know they make multiple things, or Oregon's got to get their shine on or whatever.
Get your shine on.
Yeah, I never got the whole TCU Horned Frogs or Toads or whatever the fuck it is.
It's the Horned Frogs.
Yeah, with the bloodshot, like, streak. Like, really?
Because don't the actual animal, doesn't it, like, shoot blood out of its tear ducts or something
it
like
does,
that?
It does, but, yeah, like, but when you have the, a like, homie,
don't eat me.
Just like a good Texas Christian.
Oh, well, there goes any church.
Is that like an Ebola joke? The frog shoots blood out of its orifices?
Too soon.
I mean, they got Ebola not over there, enough. Right?
They do a lot of it.
That nurse who got Ebola, she went to TCU. This is all like coming full circle, man.
Yeah.
By the way, I enjoyed going to the LSU game yesterday with my parents, but my dad would not stop talking about Ebola.
Ebola is like the great dad rock conversation piece right now.
Yeah, I everybody's trying to be scared over it, and it's like, oh, like, God, come on. Like if you're going to have a terrible disease that strikes Metairie, it's probably going to be called Affliction T-shirts, or, you know.
Oh, if Metairie gets afflicted with something?
Yeah. It's, no, no. I'm cutting the fucking puns off there.
Where's sunglasses?
No. Why don't we just start hitting buttons and letting everybody hear wacky sound effects? No, I mean.
But anyway, like, but they did have that guy on the plane got, there was a guy on a plane who was, like, coughing. It was coming from, like, West Africa, and they, like, pulled him off. They were all flipping their shit.
Can you imagine how shitty it would be, like, let's say you just have, like, maybe some allergies or a cold or something, and you get on a flight, and everybody's just freaking out. This man has Ebola! Get off of this flight! Is that actually happening? Or am I just adding to the fear monger?
Actually, it did happen where a guy, he sneezed and made a joke and said, ha, I have Ebola. They grounded the plane and pulled him off, and he's like, I
was
just
like saying
joking.
You have a bomb?
That's what I was talking about. Yeah, that's the new, like, I have a bomb on a plane.
Yeah, it is.
They were like, oh, that's the bomb, because that was popular in the 90s.
Yeah.
But it was like, the guy just made a crack.
One's illegal and one is not.
But that one kind of, like, I can kind of justify it, because the guy was, like, had spent time in, like, Africa and had came back.
I don't know about that part.
You can't be making jokes like that.
That's as bad as that Tulane girl that wound up working for the WWE at some point, and she said, flying to Africa tomorrow, hope I don't get AIDS, lol. And then somebody was like,
she got fired by the time her plane landed.
Yeah, right. Somebody's like, you don't have a job, lol. Oh, yeah. So I think we pretty much covered all the college scores. Anything else interesting in the NFL happen? Anybody see any scores today?
I didn't see score-wise. An interesting thing I did find... I just found it amusing because it makes fun of Atlanta.
Go on.
That last weekend, Matt Ryan actually had to use a silent count because there were so many Bears fans in the audience that they were so loud that Matt Ryan... That would be like in the dome, Drew Brees having to be like, I can't hear myself, which doesn't happen.
Right. It's dead silent. It's hard to imagine that.
Yeah, it's really fucking funny.
Silent Count sounds like a band that had a synthesizer in the late 80s that would be found on like the Breakfast Club soundtrack.
Well, like, there was Silent Game. So
like, Don't Yell at Me, Dad by Silent Count. Yeah.
We should get Louis C.K. on the podcast.
He'll probably drop by.
Yeah,
drop
I think by. So. Yeah. It's at least 50-50.
I mean, there'll be beer here.
The other day, I was actually driving around. I saw a Ford GT40 on Louisiana Avenue. Right? And I'm thinking two things. One, if you had $250,000 to spend on a vehicle... Why would you make it a Ford? Like it was a finely made vehicle, but you know, other than
Unknown Road Dead.
There are a few things the Germans do well.
Fix or repair daily.
Automobiles are one of them. Genocide happens to be another, but that's a different podcast.
Winning beer too. Speaking of Ford, you know, watching the Saints Lions game, they were showing aerial shots of Ford Field. Man, that fucking stadium looks like a dump, man. It is just an ugly fucking stadium.
It's fix or repair daily.
It's only been around for like 10 years, I think, or 14 years at the most. I think maybe they opened it in 2000 or 01 or something.
It's like you're...
It's just an ugly damn stadium. Let's just let the cat in here. He can give his input on the LSU-Kentucky game.
No, fuck that.
We haven't really talked about
it. This is not guys with cats.
Speaking of cats, the Kentucky Wildcats...
Sandra Bullock's character in Speed?
That's the Arizona Wildcats,
damn it.
Jeff.
Damn it, college football.
The Kentucky Wildcats, who I didn't know this until I researched it for an article on DeathValleyVoice.com last week, which if you haven't checked out DeathValleyVoice.com, we're on the Fansided Network. We cover LSU sports on a daily basis.
Jacob's writing is really good, too.
Yes, thank you, Jeff. Thank you for lying.
No, I don't even, like, you're writing about a subject I don't know much about, but I feel like I know what's going on.
But
Phil
compelled to have a podcast about it.
That's the whole point of this podcast, is you guys know what you're talking about. I don't.
Anyway, it's DeathValleyVoice.com. We cover LSU sports every day. And I have a weekly piece during football season in which I cover the series history of LSU's opponent that week. And I found something interesting that I had kind of halfway remember, but halfway forgot about. LSU and Kentucky actually played each other annually for 51 seasons, from 1952 to 2002, which I never would have guessed, since just based on the distance between the two schools and the fact that they're in two different divisions, or have been for the past 20-plus years. So it has been a one-sided series with LSU winning most of those games. I think about 36 of the 56 times they played, LSU has won. Something like that. But a lot of history between those two schools, not just in basketball either, but in football. And Wildcats came down. They entered that game 5-1. They're having a great year this year, and they just got stomped. They just got fucking stomped by LSU, 41-3. It was a great way for LSU to get back on track. They've struggled this season, and they looked pretty good. Leonard Fournette had a touchdown early, but Terrence McGee led the way the rest of the way. You know, LSU rushed all over the Wildcats, who have a pretty decent rushing defense this year. And it was just a good time to be in Tiger Stadium. LSU got back on track and clinched a spot in a bowl game this year, winning their sixth game of the season.
Yeah, midstream update, where as of right now, the Broncos are up 42-10 on the San Francisco 49ers, who seem to be lost in a tailspin this year, somewhat.
You know, the NFC West is a little bit like the NFC South, except I think all the teams in the NFC West are better than the teams in the NFC South, but, you know... All those NFC West teams, it's just a race to the bottom, just like the NFC South. The 49ers are bipolar this year. The Seahawks have been struggling. They just traded Percy Harvin, threw him under the bus, so he punched Golden Tate in the locker room.
We are all drinking Lagunitas IPA.
Yeah, let's do the beer
right now.
Thing.
They
let's
do the beer thing. They did pop in this past week, I think, to consumers in the New Orleans market. They came in with three beers. They have the Imperial Red in the big bottle. They have the little something something with the green top, and then they have the IPA.
What's the little something something? What kind of beer is that?
I think it's a pale ale is its base thing. It's delicious, though. I like it. It was really nice. Last Tuesday, I went to the Comedy Beast local comedy show at Holland Wolf Den, and they had Lagunitas IPA on tap, and it was the first time in Louisiana that I walked into not like a known beer bar. Like, I mean, they have good tap lists. Don't get me wrong. The Holland Wolf Den has actually a really good tap list, plus $2 tacos on Tuesdays. Not like Avenue Pub, sure. I understand that there's, or Bulldog, I understand that there's going to be like the latest and greatest beer there. But walking into just, a club, a music slash comedy venue, and being able to order a Lagunitas IPA was fucking great.
Yeah, I think it all comes down to who's running the joint. Especially in other cities, but starting to get here too, you're finding smaller and smaller venues with better tap handles in them.
It is, it's getting better. I mean, Louisiana beer culture was always like, it was like Bud Miller Coors and a beat up. That was our culture for a very long time.
Yeah, the beer scene has is ever expanding now.
Yeah,
I mean,
and not just with local breweries.
It's our tendency that everything we like it to be big and opulent. And if you can break the palate away from just going with the big guys, now don't get me wrong, they still have a bull share of the market. And there are a lot of people who are never going to drink past that. They're going to, drink whatever their domestic is because they don't like craft.
Well, we got that right now even with, like, sodas, too. I was mentioning earlier, like, Fest Cola. It's like a thing out of Madisonville.
Okay.
Those guys too have been like kind of exploding like locally, just like kind of going more like craft stuff. And
so craft soda, basically.
Yeah, it's craft soda right now.
I've never heard of this.
That's kind of awesome.
Rouse's just started picking them up. I think they're up to like 28 locations right now.
Is it all Rouse's or just certain?
Is it worth checking out?
Mid-City Rouse's has and so does Uptown. I know that.
Okay, good.
It's definitely worth checking out. They got like four flavors right now. Highly recommend the Satsuma Mint. It's like a creamsicle with like a little mint flavor to it.
I could get
that. Sounds like a good like kind of, right now whether the weather's going from that warm to cool right now, that'd be good.
I'd rather get my fruity taste in a soda than a beer.
Yeah. So, and speaking of leaning more towards alcohol, they do have a bourbon cream soda?
Hmm.
So you can like actually go to work and have like a pretend you're drinking.
Like, doesn't have alcohol in it.
It doesn't have alcohol. It's just got the bourbon flavor.
I've got this
so.
Sandwich shop not far away from my office. They sell these, I can't remember the brand name, but it's these glass bottles of cream soda. And they've got a regular one and a diet one. And every time I go to that place, I'll grab a diet cream soda and I'll just bring it back and I'll pop open the bottle when I get back. And every time one of my coworkers walks into my office, they're like, "Oh, holy shit, you're drinking a beer? What's going on?"
Here's the thing is, real quick, because we're on the cream soda tip right now, because that's my favorite. I'm not a fan of red cream soda. Like, Bark's red cream soda, not a big fan of.
You've never had it from a soda fountain, I bet.
Probably not.
Because it's fucking delicious.
But what I do love is Bark's vanilla cream soda, which you can't get in New Orleans. Or most music, it's almost nearly impossible to get. The only places I've been able to find it have been in like rural Louisiana areas where like the ATM asks if the language should be English or English.
That's messed up because Barks started here.
Exactly. Actually, there were two Barks's. There was a Mississippi Barks and a Louisiana Barks, and they had this embroiled battle. And ultimately, the Mississippi one won out, but they relocated to Louisiana. I think I'm quoting Wikipedia correctly on that.
Right. As if anybody had...
No, I was like 4 years old or something. No, this was 1800s. I'm sorry.
Nobody looks in books anymore. No. Like, one day your great-grandkids are going to ask you what a book is, and you're going to have to tell them that a long time ago, everything had to be written down on sheets of paper, and they'd be looking at us like we're fucking weird.
Yeah.
By the way, we do have elections looming, so if you're listening to this, go really out and get registered. You get... my favorite race, if you're a native Louisianan, I've called it the Muppet Off. I've called it Battle of the Animals. You have Mr. Cassidy, or Dr. Cassidy properly. The gentleman looks like Sam the Eagle, and opposing him is the incumbent,
Bill Cassidy.
Mary Landrieu, who looks like Porky Pig or Miss Piggy. Imagine them
doing... It's not about her weight, it's just her face.
No, it's his nostril holes. It's something about the nose.
Yeah. She does have a weird nose. She's...
But she is the standing elder senator from the state. But the attack ahead are awesome because it's like Mary Landrieu votes for AIDS. And you're like, what the fuck? How did you get that
My
one
favorite,
out?
It's like Mary Landrieu supports Obama 97%. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure all the Democrats in Louisiana are like, well, yeah, okay, that's cool. I'll vote for
and
her.
Of
like,
course,
I,
they
you're
always
not really
the, like,
helping there, but like.
I want to say it was 2002. I don't remember who she was running against. But I remember the band that I was in high school, punk band that I was in. We almost named our EP after something we saw on a on a Mary Landrieu attack ad, and it was basically this ad was trying to convince you that Mary Landrieu was against the Boy Scouts and in favor of abortion. So like, it just at the end of the ad, it just said, Boy Scouts, no. Abortion, yes. And we wanted to name our first album that, but decided it was a bad idea.
Probably.
So
I know voting seems really dumb, and it's really tried to be like, get out there and vote. But like, local elections, it matters more, I think. Like, your vote counts more in a local election, especially when there's like amendments on, you know, on the bill, like... On the ballot, I would say vote for your amendments and shit like that.
What,
like,
is this, the Rock the Vote podcast?
This is the Cock the Vote, because we're all a bunch of cocks.
I'm just going to say, only vote if you feel like it.
Well, yeah,
like,
no, I agree. No, I agree with that.
If you don't vote, if you don't want to vote, then don't fucking vote.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with that.
And this is why we have all the problems we do.
Yeah, because if you just, no, but if you vote just because you feel like you have to, you're just going to start picking random shit that you don't know about.
It's fun.
Yeah, you just press the buttons, it's great. You get a little pin. Maybe a temporary tattoo if you got a cool place.
Wait, they have temporary tattoos?
You know, I'm making it up as I'm saying it. I'm like, they should.
I want to get a temporary face tattoo. The old ladies at the polling places are going to be like, I can't believe we let that young man vote.
Oh, God, he's so... this is,
he probably he's got a tattoo on his face.
He probably uses Twitter. no,
uses
but like,
that Googles.
But you should vote, though, if you are passionate about a certain thing that's on the ballot. Don't vote just to vote, though, because then you're going to pick something that you don't know anything about.
I don't think most people have the level of, like, legal knowledge to understand how the amendments... I've read them the way they're worded.
No, they're written in a way to confuse the shit out of you.
Yeah, it's overly verbose.
It
like,
is.
And then and somebody reduces it down to vote amendment 26 if you want to kill dogs. And you're like, whoa, I'm not a dog killer or whatever.
Right.
And then you find out, like... Oh, it's like to fund the fucking dog catcher.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's like, but I do think that, like, you know, like the tolls for the Crescent City Connection, that was, you know, that came down to 8 votes. Like, 8 votes, man. Like, I'm not saying which side you should be on, but whatever side you were on, it was close. And so that shows that if you were passionate about that issue and you voted and your side didn't win, you're one of the 8 people that fucked up.
I know I should have voted 7 more times that day.
Vote early and vote often.
But I'll go ahead and pass judgment. I think it's fucked up that you can get into any place and have to pay to get out. And I'm talking specifically about both the
North
West
Shore
Bank and
the, West
and the North Shore.
Hey, it's free to go back and forth to the West Bank now.
I feel like we should tax everybody from the North Shore coming in.
I still got money on my toll tag. I'm pretty pissed about that.
You could have gotten a refund.
Yeah, you could have gotten a refund.
Yeah, but that requires...
I'm so active, I go out and vote, but I don't read the...
Did you used to work on the West
Bank? Yeah, I used to work in Harvey.
Okay.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, I'm sorry for your loss.
Yeah.
You used to work inside of an invisible rabbit?
I actually was wearing the costume, and I was fucking with Jimmy Stewart in the past. It was his, it was a long play prank that I've been trying to do for this new web series called Fucking with Jimmy.
Fucking with Jimmy and Cars with Coffee.
Fucking with Jimmy.
It's great because...
And cigarettes.
The title just tells you exactly what you're going to get. There's no question.
So this is a dude fucking with Jimmy.
Who the hell is Harvey?
Lots of high school.
Feel free to write in at the email address if you don't know what they're talking about.
podcast@delayofgame.net.
What? Speaking of, have an email address?
Yeah. It's a catch-all. You can send an email to dickfarts@delayofgame.net and it'll go to podcast.
If you want to address Jeff, write your email to dickfarts@game.
those get filtered into a separate folder.
But no, actually next week I think we're going to go ahead and let people write in and we'll take questions and give advice in whatever way we're capable. They're not legally binding advice. Yeah.
So this has been Delay of Game.
I'm Jacob.
I'm Will.
Good night, I love you, I'm Matt.
Oh yeah, and I'm Jeff.
Delay of Game, 5-yard penalty. See you assholes next week. Positivo vai além, que realmente é capaz. Dar uma sinfonia em sintonia com a paz.